Hello and welcome to the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast with your hosts, Daryl White and Jeremy Vest. Got something to say? Then crack open a cold one and leave us a message on the 24/7 Drunk Dial voicemail line at 702-530-5564. Enjoy the show and remember, friends don't let friends trade drunk.
I know you got to be up early. What are you drinking?
I am. I gotta find a spot. It's gotta be a spot. 1985 IPA again. New Belgium and some water. Cheers.
Cheers. I don't have anything.
Bummer.
I should order a bucket and then put it in the room.
You should.
Judging
from the conversation we had before, you should be like pounding some beers right now.
Yeah, it would probably be beneficial, but obviously it's 7 a.m., I believe. 7 a.m., so bar's not open, couldn't grab anything. Man, I didn't really think about, before work, so gotcha. Nothing today. So I broke that 2-week streak, definitely. This week we're going to talk about the upcoming matchups, kind of a partial review. Obviously, we're going to talk about the matchups, so bring up some of the information you already know from last week. Maybe some you don't. Take a shot. It's going to be a rookie hype train. Maybe a little less hype than in facts so far. Just because a lot of rookies did show up last week and performed well. Kind of surprising by the sheer number, I think. Yeah. So that's pretty nice.
Seems to be the trend the last few years, or last couple of years anyway. There's new rookies coming in, just blowing up immediately.
Well, these were, kind of touted as stronger classes in certain areas anyway. So, or at least it seems the more talked about classes out of like the last couple of years, but maybe we're just paying more attention now. Ike. Hit us up with the drunk dial. Remember, 702-530-5564. Just leave us a message, text, whatever. We'll throw your stuff on here. So let's listen.
Much appreciated.
Yeah. Let's see what Ike's got.
Good morning, fellas. This is Ike. I am, it's 7:45 in the morning on Monday morning. First week of NFL football is almost over. We still have Monday night game, but I'm drinking some coffee because it's early. My question is, what's your biggest overreaction after week one? Just wanted to see what you guys' thoughts were. Let's chat soon. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, Jeremy. I'll ask yours. I certainly tried to stay away from Packers. So that's what I try to stay away from on this. So how about you?
Yeah, that was like the first thing that came to mind. But then it was like, I know either last week or a couple weeks ago, we talked about guys that last year had a huge week one and then never matched that or beat it the rest of the year. I'm not even anyone in particular, but just don't believe what you saw week one, because these defenses haven't seen these offenses yet. They weren't able to really prepare for what these offenses look like. So don't rely on that guy that went off last week to carry you the rest of the season or even this week.
Yeah. I mean, some of the big waiver claims, like Juwan Johnson, like wrote up in the little waiver article thing I did, he had like four total catches, two went for touchdowns or whatever, or three,
yeah.
Two touchdowns on three catches. Like
yeah.
He that type of production isn't necessarily sustainable. I mean, not saying not go get them, but just like temper your expectations, right? Like,
yeah, Troutman actually led the tight ends on that team by a large margin in targets. So.
Yep, exactly. And I think I brought that up, but it's just that kind of stuff, like those. But same with like Christian Kirk. He's only put up two touchdown games like three times ever. Or Jameis has only done a 5-touchdown game twice in his career. In his entire career, it was one his rookie season and last week. So like you know, there's going to be jump all over and some of it is warranted, especially if you need the help. But I don't make any like serious like roster moves for at least like the third week. I'll change the lineup, but I won't start like cutting people that underperformed or, you know,
aside from like a major injury or something. You have to replace a guy, you go out and you can, that's, you know, fine. But yeah, don't make any like gut reactions over the first week of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Pick up the, you know, the waiver wire targets as they come, but don't cut any like your higher drafts, you know, guys, just because they did bad, you know. Yeah. You saw like people.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I
was to tell you, like, not to bring up the Packers, but I mean, you never know. I mean, I know a lot of teams got their asses kicked last week. I mean, teams that were expected to win, like the Titans, the Packers, of course, and like some of them just came out flat, just didn't even. I mean, you got to get used to preparing for a game again, what you need to do to prepare. So, yeah, just a grain of salt. Week one.
Yep. Totally. Yeah. So thanks for the voicemail, Ike, and thanks for the Pure Mist sponsorship.
This episode of Dynasty Drunks is brought to you by Pure Mist. We are very excited to be partnered with our friend Ike and his business. Pure Mist is an indoor environment solutions company helping communities in both North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and Minnesota by creating clean spaces in any venue. The only technology available in products proven to reduce COVID-19 on both surfaces and in the air. Active Pure technology products proven to kill 99.96% of airborne and 99.98% of surface SARS-CoV-2 in as little as 3 minutes. Tests completed in partnership with a biosafety level 4 and biosafety level 3 combination lab team following strict FDA protocols. So check out PureMistCo.com or contact them at 218-242-1561 or by email at Isaiah@PureMistCo.com. That's Isaiah, ISSIAH at PureMistCo.com, 218-242-1561. Pure Mist.
Yeah, real quick, drinking buddy. I don't know. We'll have to hear from Sam, at Sam Williamson. I think
never your, again.
Yeah, he doesn't like, he may not like us anymore. Yeah, because hopefully he didn't listen to our talk about Lockett and McLaurin. So, I don't know. We did kind of say, like,
if Fitzpatrick hadn't gotten hurt, it could have been a lot different.
I mean, but it's true.
Lockett went off regardless. Yeah,
regardless. But that may also be his typical one-time thing. We kind of argued back and forth. It was more like default to McLaurin, but like it wasn't really such a hard line, I guess, but that's all right.
McLaurin. No, fuck it. We said put McLaurin in. We fucked up. We're sorry.
Yeah.
It's week one, just like we talked about. Week one, you just never know. So
Apologies,
Sam, but we'll make up for it over the season.
I honestly feel like I would have gotten Lockett in the lineup somewhere potentially, but like if it was my team, but I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Our bad. If you did, if not, then we can't be blamed for anything. So, news, kind of some impressive drinking Panthers Jets game here.
This is the most impressive thing I saw all week.
So, tell me about this. Do the math, or you find this up, or.
Yeah. It's basically this dude at the Panthers game, in Charlotte. He's, wearing a McCaffrey jersey, obviously a Panthers fan, having a great time.
Great time.
He's turning up a can of light, Miller Lite, in the photo. And then you look below, they zoom in the second picture, and he's got, I counted 20 16-ounce Miller Lights. I have to assume they're empty underneath the seat. And it says, what if I told you the best performance from Sunday's Panthers Jets game didn't come from on the field? And kind of did the math here. I actually looked up what a beer costs at the stadium there. $10 for a 16-ounce Miller Lite. So that's $200 sitting under your seat, and the equivalent of 26 2/3 normal size beers. So
I can't imagine he did it by himself, because about 12 is like bad.
I wonder if he even like was able to walk away. I mean, I'd be impressed.
Not in those flip flops.
Yeah, exactly. It's my flip flops. Yeah, yeah. Catch that one.
Yeah. No, it is impressive. It's cool. It's funny. I kind of saw it come up on Twitter too. So that's awesome. So some of this,
The stadium, I mean, $10 is pretty good for a 16-ounce beer. Yeah. Yeah. Gotta like that.
It's not bad. Yeah. I mean, for stadium beer, when you think of it. Yeah. Some of this rookie hype or rookie wide receivers going on here. Leaders in targets per route run. Got a couple guys here. Rondell Moore, 38.5%. Anthony Schwartz, 31.3%. Devonta Smith, 27.6%. Terrace Marshall, 26.1%. And then finally, Jamar Chase at 25%. We'll get into Chase here in a minute. But anything out here stand out to you? I mean, I feel like Schwartz and Marshall are the only two that we didn't expect involvement or as much involvement, maybe.
Yeah, I kind of expected Marshall, but Schwartz kind of came out of nowhere. I know he was like a track star in college, but I didn't expect him to be the two over Donovan Peoples-Jones. Kind of bummed me out a little bit, but in the absence of OBJ. But yeah, something to look at. I mean, it's something we always talk about. These guys that are getting the targets, they're the ones that you want to target on the kind of said that. But the guys you want to go get on waivers if you can. I mean, none of these guys, except for maybe Schwartz. I've seen Schwartz in a couple of weeks, but people went out and spent top dollar on him on the waivers this week.
Yeah, I think I put a 25 bid on him in one league. I don't know if it went through or not. I didn't pay attention. So, I guess I don't know if it's really surprising, but I feel a little worse for making that Jamar Chase trade. But I don't know. He just like rope-a-doping us and trying to fool everybody out the first. But
he learned how to catch the ball apparently last week.
So Chase became just the third wide receiver drafted in the first round to have 100 plus receiving yards in his NFL debut since 1990. What are some of his other stats?
Yeah, last week, 89.8% of snaps he played for the Bengals, 31 routes on 32 Burrow dropbacks, led the team with a 25.9% target share and had 5 catches for 101 yards and a touchdown. So, and I saw earlier that I didn't put this in here, but his ADP dropped in startups like 3 rounds since all that stuff came out about him not seeing the ball and all the drops and everything that were going on in preseason and camp and stuff. So, man, if you got him over that time frame, you may have really lucked out.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I wouldn't say there was like worry on my end. I just would, the trade I made with him, I just would have rather moved him, at the time. And it felt like it was like a high pressure situation to make the trade because there's a lot of people involved. It's definitely, it's good. I didn't expect it. We'll see if it can be sustained in that, that offense. But I do have some notes kind of about, this could be a good week again. The Bears Bengals. Oh, yeah. Some air yard leaders. So air yards is, the ball travels before it's caught. So we got a couple names here. One, so these are recurring.
Yeah.
We got Tyreek Hill, 231 yards. DJ Chark, 199. CD Lamb, 159. MVS, 156, which I didn't even realize he caught that much.
Look at this. He didn't catch that much. It's just, air yards is basically when they're targeted, how far the ball travels in the air total throughout the game.
Okay. So I thought this was completed yards, air yards.
Yeah. But we can like run through the rest of this list. I mean,
that's true.
MVS, 156, then Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, Antonio Brown, Brandon Cooks, Mari Cooper, Anthony Schwartz rounded out at 122. That's something I've always heard Matt Harmon preach about, reception perception. Air yards is a good tell of good things to come, even if they didn't perform in the game.
But you got
MVS was the big name that stuck out to me. I mean, Schwartz there at the bottom of the list, of course, but as bad as the Packers played, he still got one of his targets.
Well, I guess, when the ball gets thrown to you and this counts, I mean, that's all the Packers did was throw the ball and to create this. So they didn't do anything with it, but yeah, no, that's cool. Okay. Yeah. There's definitely a metric too, that one for like air yard completed, like, you know, completed air yards. And then, you know, then it discounts, you know, the yards after the catch or total yards kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
So yeah. No surprise here. I think tight end target share leaders, Waller 35%, Troutman 30%, Pitts 24%, Higbee 23%, Fant 22%, Kelsey 21%, and Kittle 20%. Yeah, most of those are exactly what I would think, you know, except maybe Troutman, I guess, you know, kind of just a surprise.
I was hoping to get some more like outliers here as far as, I mean, besides Troutman and maybe Higbee even, because I haven't really been on Higbee all that much. I know he's still a popular pick, but and then Pitts, I mean, he didn't do shit in the game, but he was obviously targeted pretty highly. So
yeah, well, that's good going forward, right? I mean,
yeah,
at least he's getting thrown the ball, so that's good. So, but a lackluster debut for Pitts for sure. So
yeah, they just got completely destroyed by the Eagles.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's going to continue. Drew Brees on Jameis Winston, quote, "I guess apparently this is what the Saints have been missing. You mean a quarterback that got LASIK and played a, you know, team that show up?" All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of overreactions there, Ike.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think he's the better quarterback there and probably should not be taken out for Taysom Hill, but at least until he proves otherwise. So, but yeah. Certainly a career performance by Winston. So I think that's all less from here. You know, we talk about the week one performances not repeating. Yeah. Probably a good candidate. So
it's a pretty good chance he doesn't throw 5 touchdowns again this year.
Pretty good chance. Since it's
not, they're not playing the Packers anymore either.
Yeah. We'll get into some of this preview review here. Kind of combine Jeremy's hard work here to, it's a nice one little episode. First up, we got Bengals at Bears. I assume the Bears are 3-point favorites. Over under of 45. I think this is going to be a complete, like, well, maybe not slinging it because of Dalton. Maybe Fields will come in, but
I hope so.
Bengals allowed the 4th most points to wide receivers fantasy points, and then the Bears allowed the 5th most. So like if there's any like, it's like chase to repeat, you know, it's here, you know. Maybe and even
if Tyler Boyd repeats his lackluster performance from last week, I'd be start to get worried about that guy. It was the Higgins and Chase show there.
Yeah, I wouldn't overreact. Yeah, wouldn't overreact on Boyd, but if it trends for another 2 weeks, then maybe start to worry. So
just a little update here on I just realized how good, I don't know how good Heineke's playing, but he's 17 of 21 for 162 yards and a touchdown in the game so far. Been sacked once. And McLaurin 6 for 60, a touchdown, and McKissick has a rushing touchdown, not Gibson. So
yeah. Yeah, I had to basically pick him up in that Devy league. I just got rid of the other I was trying to hold on to my Devys, but I had only had Fitz and no other quarterback, so I had to make a trade for quarterback. So hopefully that works out for me in the end, because I'm not willing to overpay.
I had to make a trade for Tyrod Taylor in a 2QB league today. Kind of something I noticed last week, the Bears D just doesn't look the same. For whatever reason, I know they've had a lot of turnover on that roster. So I wouldn't look for them to come out and dominate defensively. And they're going to be hurt until Fields gets in there.
Yeah, for full time, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Dalton's just got awful.
Yeah. Good for Montgomery, I guess. So,
yeah.
And a little
Montgomery
bit of.
Montgomery looks great.
Yeah. Texans at Browns. Browns 12.5-point favorites. Woo! Over under 48. I was kind of surprised by the Texans last week, actually. I'm not too sure if that'll repeat, especially not against the Browns.
Yeah, they're not playing the Urban Meyer's team.
Yeah, you, it looks like you got a player to watch here, Anthony Schwartzkin. OBJ is out already. We already know that. So not to steal your thunder, but I'm also on that for Liquid Courage this week. Okay. So anything? I really, to me, like, don't start Mark Ingram, David Johnson.
Like, yeah, I mean, I really wouldn't want to start Mark Ingram unless I absolutely have to. He's completely touchdown dependent to me when they're not playing a team like the Jags. The Browns have a great defense. So,
yeah,
I mean, they can probably focus on the only real weapon that the Texans have, and that's Brandon Cooks. So I would fade him this week as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, I look for Chubb and Hunt to just dominate this game.
Yeah, it may be hard to bench Cooks, but I probably won't in the place I have him, just because there's not many other options. So, but I'm with you. This could look like the Texas team we thought they were, because they certainly, I thought they were going to be beat by the Jags, and they didn't. So it was kind of crazy. Sometimes you just got to do the opposite of what we do. Rams at Colts. Rams 4-point favorites, over under 47.5. Rams look good with Stafford. I mean, you know, we're not on the on Detroit, but you know, Goff looked serviceable in Detroit too. So it's, you know, it seems like a pretty good swap, at least for now. Not too excited about the Colts here.
No, I will say Stafford led all QBs in the QB rating last week. He looked really good in that offense. Looks like him and McVay may have like a mind meld type deal going on there. The Colts just, man, they just don't have any burst. It didn't look like. I mean, Pittman's like a possession guy. Nothing else really going on there. Their tight ends aren't like field stretchers or anything. Jonathan Taylor, I mean, he was fine in the passing game. Couldn't get anything going on the ground, but I don't think this is Wentz. Is that their offensive line didn't really look all that great last year or last week? And
it was a tougher matchup too. I mean,
yeah.
Washington hasn't been slacks. I don't know, Zach Pascal is somebody I kind of interested in. Looked like he might be the favorite. With Stafford, I guess I don't know who else has heard this, but maybe it was in one of the broadcasts. I watched the Manning broadcast for most of that game. That was the Monday night. Yeah. I guess Stafford and Cooper get in like 2 hours early and eat breakfast together and shit. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's definitely.
That needs to be a stat that's tracked. how many breakfasts has the receiver
had with their quarterback? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Time spent with the quarterback outside of
how many barbecues? Yeah.
Hey, could be important information. Pittman is my whiskey dick for the week as well. So I'll just spoil those now. Because he'll probably be matched up against Jalen Ramsey, so the panic might begin. So
I've been souring on him over time. So Bills 3-point favorites at the Dolphins, over under 48. Bills tidbit here: Zach Moss healthy scratch last week. Singletary looked all right, not anything crazy. You did have a fumble in the game as well. I'd like to see Waddle again. So he had a pretty good game against the Patriots last week, and want to see Tua do some more. And what honestly, like to see this Bills offense get going, because they can really do a whole lot against the Steelers.
Yeah, it kind of just looked kind of just bad. Or out of sync or whatever. And starters got some time, I think, that last game too. So not overly concerned, but Emmanuel Sanders had more snaps than Gabriel Davis. not really worried about it.
Yeah, Davis scored in the game. I mean, that's got that connection going still. So he scores a touchdown in more games than not, you'll be happy.
Yeah, I think the one league I have Waddle in, I put into the lineup because, I mean, I think that's just going to kind of continue a little bit. So certainly kind of good stuff there. Really kind of on both these teams. Bills a little less so, but I think the Dolphins are a tougher matchup than the Steelers are, personally, on the defensive side. Patriots at Jets. Patriots 5.5-point favorites, over under 43. Yeah, Belichick versus a rookie quarterback, just in general, you know, is bad news for that rookie. But after coming off a loss, maybe not such a good week for Zach Wilson here. He didn't do bad, but not great.
Yeah, I don't know. But I feel like this is probably kind of a close game. I feel like kind of like the same deal as the Dolphins Pats last week. I just don't think the Patriots have a lot going for them. Offensively, anyway, unless they can create some turnovers and win the field position battle that way, which is very possible with Zach Wilson basically running for his life against the Panthers last week.
Yeah.
Damon Harris had that fumble last week, so we're going to see Ramondre more.
I mean, Ramondre fumbled
last preseason game or whatever.
Yeah.
I saw something where the running back coach had the utmost confidence in Harris and blah, blah, blah. And I had a lot of hope for Jacoby Myers coming into the season, and Aguilar outperformed. I don't know what the reason was for that, if he's just the de facto one or if it's probably going to change every week, just like it always has for the Patriots.
Certainly. They paid Aguilar wide receiver one money and a couple other guys pretty high money. So, you know, don't know if that necessarily says anything, but it could.
I do want to see the tight ends get a little more involved. Smith and or Henry. I mean,
yeah.
They spent a lot of money on those guys too.
Yeah. I thought Smith was involved to a good level though, for kind of what I thought. So, definitely can see some more out of there, but, yeah, Jones, pretty good debut there. I don't really think they maybe should have lost that game, but 49ers at the Eagles, 3.5-point favorites for the 49ers, over under a 50. Which may have not, right, like preseason, that would have seemed high. I just didn't think the Eagles have it in them, but I'll kind of want to hit on these 49ers things. Guess what? Mostert's out with a knee, done for the season. Ooh, surprise.
Yeah, he announced on Twitter that,
Shanahan not inspiring confidence with some of these quotes about Ayuk. If he wants to be out there every single play, he's got to do a lot better than the guy behind him. I thought he had a pretty good rookie campaign. So, like, what changed? Yeah. Kind of disturbing. I promoted him in league of record and instead of Justin Jefferson because of bye weeks and not starting out great right there.
I thought it was the hamstring initially and just nursing it. But then he went out for a punt return in the game.
Yeah.
So what's going on there, really? I mean, like kind of some thoughts of old Dante Pettis creeping into my head. Ayuk, even though I think Ayuk's a much better talent. So hopefully that all works itself out there.
Yeah. Just kind of tie these two together. Elijah Mitchell and Gainwell, both two rookies that, you know, I look back at what we kind of wrote and said about them, and both guys that we were fairly positive about. I did make a mention in there that with this 49ers backfield and, that Mitchell could easily burst on the scene with a great game and then completely disappear the next. So that's what I'm a little worried about. So that was like the last sentence of his article. It was like, he could like burst in with a great game and then disappear the next. So that's the only thing I'm a little worried about, but two guys.
Yeah, I definitely remember seeing some things about Mitchell, and I think he even mentioned on the show about him like being like the
better
athlete of the bunch.
Oh, that was certainly in our preview. I brought that up. I'm more than sure I brought that up, that we talked about him being the better athlete than Sermon. And then a little vindicated, you know, maybe got Lockett wrong, but, you know, might've got right on Mitchell. So I just didn't expect him to play. Honestly. I mean, I thought he was Sermon then him, but in terms of the team, not necessarily us. So,
yeah, like you said, Gainwell looked great. Sanders come in a little banged up to this one. I think he's still questionable as of right now. And Jalen Hurts was really good in that game. I don't know if that was Atlanta or the Eagles. And Rager actually caught 6 balls out of 6 targets. That was great. And Devonta Smith looked awesome. So a little vindication there for us on that one as well. Yeah, and then I saw this quote from Nick Sirianni, and it's kind of refreshing, like, starting to like this guy. I think we talked some shit about him, or at least I did early on. I think he had that stupid press conference where he said something stupid. But he said, before you can think about scheme, you need to think about the players and what they do well. And you see so many coaches come in and be like, we're going to do it this way because this is my way, and that's the only way we're going to do it. They don't care about personnel. They don't care about anything else. It's just, we're going to run my scheme and that's it. But I love that quote from him. It showed on the field.
Yeah. I think we've associated that with Belichick all the time. Like I got this X player. What is he good at? You know, and then we'll find a role, or, you know, it's not like, well, you know, you just couldn't do this one thing. So you're, you know, whatever, you know, but you're really good at this other stuff. But so,
no, that's the whole square peg round hole.
Yep. I'm excited to see if we get the same production out of the Eagles here. I don't really see 49ers as that like a vaunted of a defense.
I kind of expect the Niners going and lose in Philly, honestly, going
a little bit
west coast to east coast, and this Eagles team looking pretty good.
Yeah. Makes me feel a little bit better for sure there. Maybe not feeling so much better. Raiders at Steelers. Steelers 5.5-point favorites, over under 47. Kind of crazy. I unfortunately didn't do a lot with this, but Najee Harris played 100% of his running back snaps for the Steelers. Only running back in the NFL to do that. So he's on the field. They trust him. I mean, that means he's not coming out, but just... I think the concern is not with him. It's the line, kind of how we've hinted at a couple different times.
Yeah, man, it's bad. Yeah, Harris, 16 carries, 45 yards last week, 2.8 average. Yep. And also had 1 catch for 4 yards. So not much going on, even though they did win. But not a lot going on in that backfield.
JD McKissick with the Vulture TD.
Yeah.
For those paying attention.
Uh-huh. Another one?
No, it's, I mean, that I saw. I just saw it, so I'm behind. I
brought that up earlier. You probably weren't listening to me as usual.
Yeah. Josh Jacobs saved, you know, his fantasy day. I was kind of, I don't know if I really missed on my prediction from last week. Most of the Raiders wide receivers didn't do anything, and they really didn't do anything till the end.
Yeah.
And it went into OT. So, I mean, we knew Waller was going to do Waller things, but Jacobs got the 2 TDs, and I was going to maybe save this for later too, but I started looking at players and like their fantasy points, like 75% ish, I think, of his fantasy points came from the TDs. So I started looking at like some of these big breakouts, and it's like, I was looking for disparity in between like yards and catches and touchdowns to see like where they're getting a lot of their points for them. Yeah. And I'm going to kind of eyeball that for a little bit and see, like, cause I think, you know, somebody scores 20, like we'll get into CMC, right? He didn't score a TD, but he was like pretty much, it was 50-50 pretty much between the yards and the, you know, and the catches and stuff. So,
No, I think that's a thing for Jacobs. I think we brought that stat up a while back, is about them and wins. Like, he doesn't score touchdowns if they don't win.
Yeah.
Basically. And I think it may have even been like a fantasy points thing. Like, he scores lower than whatever, 10 or less points and losses or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever else it was. Can't really bring it up off the top of my head.
Yeah. No, it's basically when they're like, another one says when they're behind or they're, you know, losing game, he basically sucks.
James Cribb.
Yeah. Well, and it wasn't even that. It was like even worse than that kind of thing. Raiders look decent for sure. It's cool. They won that first game there in Vegas, you know, with fans and stuff. So
yeah.
Kind of funny. I sold those tickets because obviously I'm not there. That next morning, I got an offer on my season tickets to buy the season, like all of it. And then I was like using the restroom. And then by the time I got back to look at it, see what the offer, they retracted it. So somebody was excited to buy some tickets and then, you know, pulled out last minute. So I'm a little sad about that.
Man.
Yeah. Speaking of CMC, Saints, 3.5-point favorites at Panthers, over 144. I think this is an over for sure, like an easy over. It's kind of led into this. CMC led all fantasy rushers in week one, despite not scoring a TD. Was targeted on 39% of his routes run. I think this is exactly like what you expect from him, and I have absolutely zero worries. Now, you know,
it's like kind of what you were alluding to earlier. He's touchdown proof. Like, whether he scored the touchdown or not, a lot of guys like Jacobs, you're counting on them to score a touchdown for them to have a good fantasy week. But CMC, no, he's going to catch fucking 5 to 7 balls, maybe even more, and then he's going to run for 70 plus every week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't think you have any concern about injury lingering. Obviously, I don't think you have any now, right?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. So I know that was maybe. I had a little concern right before the game coming out. Like, how's it going to look? But I think right back to his old self. So 3 first rounds if you want CMC.
On a Jameis, first QB in the modern era to throw 5 touchdowns while throwing under 150 yards. Let's not talk about that. And then on to Marquez Callaway. I think that was totally the game, the way that game went. And I don't think he was blanketed by it. Like, Jair wasn't specifically on him, but he was on him a lot. So that could have had something to do with it. They just didn't have to throw the ball.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about Callaway. I actually went out and got him in one league today. That's kind of a throw in even, but, still kind of high on that guy.
Yeah, certainly. Not too worried. We kind of alluded that he was going to have a tougher matchup anyways. So, Broncos at Jaguars. Broncos 6-point favorites, over 145.5. Looks like Jerry Jeudy, high ankle sprain, multiple weeks. Probably even longer, honestly. In the end, you know, high ankle sprains tend to hang around there for a little bit. I know you got in here about the, you know, maybe Patrick being kind of the next guy up. I'm with you there. Tim Patrick and Hamler even potentially. So I've got Patrick and Hamler both in some locations. So
actually, not a little note here. I saw that Teddy Bridgewater requested that Hamler's locker be moved next to his.
Oh, really?
A little foresight. I can't even remember where I saw that, but I did
see it. Yeah. I got quite a few Hamler shirts. I just kind of like weirdly, I guess maybe liked some stuff from last year and just like didn't really like dig deep into him. I just like started acquiring him. It seemed like one of those guys I was interested in and I could get for like as a throw in, like people didn't care about.
Yep.
You know? And I kind of just.
Is there.
Yeah. I think it's Patrick, but yeah.
A little live update here. Daniel Jones, pass to Darius Slayton for a 33-yard touchdown.
That is so awesome that I have Daniel Jones on the bench.
It is 20-14 Giants right now, the third quarter.
Yep. I saw the touchdown come through, but I didn't see the stat yet. So, but some live reaction ish.
Teddy posted the best in the NFL, 95.7 QBR last week. He looked like he was in command of that offense. I mean, before Judy went down, he looked great. I think he like 6 to 7 targets for 70 something yards or something like that. Sutton's more of a field stretcher, and I don't think that's really Bridgewater's game. So that's why I brought up Patrick. Kind of think Patrick and or Hamler may be the guy there. Next up, pretty much all negative about the Jaguars, but specifically James Robinson played on just – he had just 35.7% of the Jacksonville's carries last week and 85.4% last season. This is without Etienne in the lineup, out for the season. So that's him and basically him and Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde is winning the running back battle there. And we'll note, I hate Urban Meyer. I think he's terrible coach for the NFL, basically. A bad human being from whatever I've heard.
I heard plenty of people kind of talk about he looked kind of out of it, you know, and not really like kind of collected on the NFL level maybe, but.
Yeah, numerous reports about a lot of unrest there in that Jacksonville locker room too, like players just not seeing eye to eye with him. You know, a lot of times college coaches come in, they think they can just talk to these grown ass men like college kids. And no, it's not the case. Urban.
I mean, he's been out of it a little bit, right? Like he would, did he just coming out of a coach kid?
I think a couple of years. He was at Ohio State and stepped down because of something with his offense coordinator or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. Apparently, like, covered up some domestic abuse stuff that was going on with one of his coordinators. Spitballing here. Probably just made that up. No, I didn't.
Denver looks to be a tough matchup, kind of in general for the Jags here. I mean, Lawrence will be okay-ish. I think that's what you're going to see. It's kind of the same thing. He's pretty good. Definitely liked Chark getting that, you know, some looks and a lot of looks and a touchdown, but didn't convert a lot.
Kind of like three balls.
Of like 12. Like
12 yeah. targets and 33 yeah. catches.
Yeah.
I don't really think that was all his fault, but yeah.
Yeah. It's good to see. I was, you know, Chark was one of those guys like, is it going to come together? And hopefully this keeps going. So.
Yeah, especially after that trade in the Gronkley.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. This kind of backfired on me. Definitely most of the leagues I lost in, I had some combination of Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones or Adams and Tanyan. Like some, not all of them in one league, but like there's usually like two Packers in there. And I got screwed. Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, I tend to win most weeks that the Packers win. So.
It's weird.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Weird.
I
do too. Vikings at Cardinals. Cardinals 4.5-point favorites, which might be a little low, over under a 51. And Cardinals look pretty great. I do have the same question here. Can Kirk keep it going? I don't think so, but. You know, it's possible.
He looks like the number two wide receiver.
Yeah.
I don't think it was Green. I mean, Green still looks like an old man out there compared to everyone else.
Well, I mean, what about Rondell Moore?
Yeah, Rondell, I mean, I don't think he's specifically a wide receiver per se. Like,
yeah.
He's more of that gadget guy. I mean, they're trying to get him the ball.
Yeah, of course.
But I think Kirk's like the de facto number two right now. Behind Hopkins, who also had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't believe this line either. 4.5 points. I mean, I think at home for the Cardinals, they just kicked the shit out of the Titans.
Yeah. Who was supposed to be a good team and the Vikings are not.
In Nashville.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm a little little, I don't know if worried about the Cardinals, but they seem to be potentially a real contender here going forward. So we'll see. I mean, long season, but you know, Falcons at Buccaneers. So 12.5 point favorites for the Bucs, over under 52. 52 points for the Bucs, right? That's all that's going to be.
Yeah, something like that.
So I was kind of just looking at why I got some of these things just off the first week. Fantasy points allowed. Atlanta might be the easiest team to score on fantasy wise. They were in the top 10 of most fantasy points allowed at quarterback, running back, tight end, and DST. So, like, they didn't do too well. They did fine against the wide receiver, like middle, and then kicker. Like, it's like I only threw DST in because it was just like it was almost all of them. So yeah, I kind of expect what we saw last week from the Bucs against the Falcons. So, yeah. And maybe a little bit better performance from the running backs.
I would think so. Yeah. Like, well, I think Rojo might be in the permanent doghouse at this point.
But, I think so.
Fournette is probably the guy to have there going forward until he fucks up. And then who knows? I just don't see a lot in this game. Not on the Falcons side anyway. I mean, I have no hope for Mike Davis in this game.
The Tampa has some pretty good linebackers. So, I mean, I got to imagine that even if Pitts gets matched up like one-on-one with the linebacker, that may not end out to terribly great. You know, and typically you kind of want that matchup, you know, with linebackers, but Tampa's got pretty good linebackers. So, all Falcons or all Bucks, I think, pretty much here. So, maybe get a little bit worried about the Falcons.
About their health.
Just in general. Yeah. Which reminds me of Mike Davis. Oh, not good. Might have to make sure he's not in lineups. I think one, I don't have a choice because best ball, obviously. But Cowboys at Chargers. Chargers 3-point favorites, over under 55. Feels about right. The Chargers didn't exactly look like they were killing it yet. So
this feels like a shootout game to me, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Michael Gallup obviously went out with the calf strain 3 to 5 weeks.
Weeks on a calf strain.
I mean, I've got a groin something in my mouth. I can't even walk to the gym. CeeDee Lamb, is this his week? I mean, wasn't it last week too?
It was, but I think this could be even bigger, honestly, against this Chargers defense. Shootout on the brink of a shootout here, probably. I mean, hopefully Zeke can get it going for fantasy's sake. I'm looking forward to seeing Mike Williams again, seeing if he can keep it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had hope for him over the years and just never panned out really, except for a few games here and there. That's about all I got on this one.
Yeah. Accidentally. I don't know if accidentally, I mean, purposely did it, but I was like, kind of same thing, like Mike Williams, I've been excited about Guyton. So actually one league I put Guyton in, so Williams, and I'm just like, well, Guyton did fine, you know, like 7 points. I was like, okay, that's fine. But then like Williams got like 21. I'm just like, oh, mother, like, of course. Like, yeah. Man, I probably lost that one too. So anyway, I went like 50% this week, but, Titans at Seahawks. Seahawks 5.5 point favorites, over under 54. Once again, I don't know if the Titans can score enough, but Seahawks probably do all this. But
yeah, I don't know about the total, but I mean, I definitely see the Titans coming out of this 0-2 probably.
Yeah,
unless they get their heads out of their asses. But hard to win in Seattle.
Yeah, so Seattle wide receivers put up some good numbers. You know, Lockett had a fantastic week. Metcalf still got his. Titans gave up the most fantasy points to wide receivers last week. So I expect pretty much the same thing. Yeah. You know, maybe they come out with a little bit more, you know, like, oh, we got our ass whooped. We'll get into a team about getting their ass whooped here in a minute. Maybe they'll
start
come out.
Start Lockett this week, Sam.
Start Lockett. Yes. Well, yeah. Maybe McClure and I get locked in, so we might get screwed. So where was I at? Yeah. I don't know. What Titans just didn't look all there. Derrick Henry didn't really get a lot. You know, I don't know.
They were playing from behind that whole game. I'm not reading too much into that on Henry. The Titans, that Cardinals D was just like ridiculous. Chandler Jones had what, 5 sacks in that game? So they just couldn't get started. And this Seahawks defensive line is great.
Yeah.
It looks to be great so far. I mean, but I kind of see more of the same. Maybe not as quite to the extent as it was against the Cardinals, but they're playing in Seattle and another good defense. So, yeah, I don't see a whole lot going on there.
In a league of record, Chandler Jones was the number one scoring person of all fantasy in our IDP, in that IDP league. So, 39 point something. And I think Murray was just like below that. So
I think I played the guy that had Chandler Jones and I still won.
Nice.
Titanics, I think, has him.
Maybe. Yeah, I got some scares there. So this week there were some real close matchups in that.
Oh, yeah, you just barely pulled that one out, didn't you?
Yeah. Chiefs at Ravens. Ravens, 3.5 point favorites, I guess, because they're home. Over under 55. As I was looking at these fantasy point distributions and how much they gave up, Baltimore gave up a ton of points to pretty much every position as well. And that was against the Raiders, which I would say it's pretty safe to say the Chiefs are better on offense. Maybe another good week for the Baltimore running backs here. Tyson Williams, Chiefs gave up the most points to fantasy points to running backs last week. So, Chiefs really never last 2 years, you know, Super Bowl and then Super Bowl trip, they weren't known for their defense. So that really new. So what's this, this CAH Jaggy? What's this?
I just thought, I mean, a lot of hope coming into this season for Edwards-Helaire, and he just looked kind of like just a guy last week. Just looked kind of slow, like we've talked about before. I mean, that 4.6 speed shows up in games now. And I'm just kind of hoping he actually does something in a game at some point. I mean, I know he's going to get some volume here and there in these games and probably be a valuable fantasy asset, but I want like some ceiling. You know, I don't care about the floor anymore. I want to see a big breakout game.
Yeah.
Speaking of breakout games, like Tyson Williams, I want to see the Ravens give him the reins. Like he looked pretty fucking good, you know. And then they're trying to trot out Latavius Murray, and they just signed Devonta fucking Freeman to the active roster. When you have a younger guy that's looking pretty good,
that was a surprise for sure. I thought it was kind of hard to figure out, you know, who kind of top shelf guy was for the week. And it was kind of these guys that, you know, there was some hope and some thought, you know, like who is going to be the guy there in Baltimore. So he's right now Baltimore's limiting him. So I feel like this be a little bit of a shootout, and I think the over and under kind of reflects that a little bit. So the dreaded Monday night game here. I don't even get how this line exists. Lions at Packers. Packers 10.5 point favorites. Over under a 48. We'll do the lines here before we talk about the Packers. Swift ran a route on 63% of the Lions pass plays the week. It had Lions had the most running back targets last week at 20. So I think that's all good things. Obviously Williams had basically, I think, kind of stole the day last week. Yeah. So And then the rookie offensive tackle, second best run blocker among tackles in week one. So, yeah, you know, that's when you need offensive line and you take a wide receiver, somebody else gets a good lineman. So,
yep. Yeah, all good things for the running backs there in Detroit. Yeah, Williams really impressed last week. I thought he was great. And then when you don't have any really real like good wide receivers to throw to, who are you going to throw to? You're going to throw to your running backs that can actually catch the ball. And we know Swift and Williams can do that. So I look for more of the same. I'm hoping that the Lions are trailing in this game and they do that more. Yep,
more
in this one.
Yeah. Really, the only thing I necessarily have about Williams is, do you think, well, just assume the Packers play better in general, but do you think that they'll play Williams a little bit better because he's a former teammate and they've seen him a lot in practice? Potentially?
Possible.
Yeah, I mean, so maybe sure. Down a little bit on Williams, or maybe Williams steps up his game. Oh, yeah.
Maybe the Packers play like an actual football team. And
yeah, maybe.
Stop them.
Yeah, just this is the best thing about the Packers. I expect to bounce back. I'm not worried yet. I mean, it hurts. It was embarrassing. What? It was bad. The Aaron Rodgers memes, though. I like some of these. I've laughed. My favorite one was the where he's in. He's in that press conference, right? He's got the. It's actually making me rethink my long hair with this, right?
Yeah, the haggard look. He looks much better with short hair.
Yes. Yeah. he looks rough, but I'm sure most people know what we're talking about, but just kind of like the look.
Yeah, this is just a terrible picture.
Yeah. this is one I saw. It says, looks like he's Nicolas Cage. It's Nicolas Cage playing Aaron Rodgers in a movie about Tom Brady. Exactly. It looks like he drug up some other here I hadn't seen yet.
Yeah, I scoured the web for some other ones just to bring some light to this Packers situation going on right now for us. And for, I know we have some Packers fans that listen, next it looks like a guy who has a few too many pictures of his stepdaughter in a bikini on his phone.
Oh, God.
Looks like the Packers are demanding extra child support. Looks like he would yell, "I am not Russian," in a thick Russian accent after you accidentally call him Russian because he sounds Russian. Looks like an undercover cop accused of playing evidence. And looks like he steals catalytic converters. Oh, man. And the last one, he actually does look like this guy from freaking Big Lebowski. I think it's like Uli Konko or something from Big Lebowski. But it's so we believe in nothing, Domofsky.
The reporter.
ESPN reporter, former Packers beat reporter, who's just a douche.
Yeah, all on the Schefter bandwagon there. So, I kind of start following a lot of those guys. So, yeah. I'll get into our top shelf and on the rocks from week one. This felt a little easy for my top shelf, Elijah Mitchell, but I wanted to go with them because. One, we talked about him, you know, kind of what we said was all positive in our rookie preview. And, you know, he definitely shined. And basically, I think hands down was probably the number one waiver pickup for most people.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think I have him in one league where I was actually able to draft him.
That's a lot of people spending 100% of their waiver dollars on Mitchell.
Just imagine if you listened during the offseason to rookie previews, we would have said that, yeah, we like this guy better. He's the better athlete than Sermon.
Yeah. And I was happy. I looked for him in my leagues and I had him in quite a few more than I thought I did. So he's sitting on my taxi squad.
Yeah. I may have gotten him a one. I just think that's just how it unfolded. So, you know, where I didn't end up drafting him.
Yeah.
So,
my top shelf, I just wanted to not take Elijah Mitchell after I saw that you did, because that was going to be mine, but I'll go with Ja'Marr Chase, the new hotness, the guy that can't see the ball, but miraculously comes out and looks awesome week one.
Yeah.
And both of our on the rocks is I mean, I put this in here for
us. It's just, I couldn't change it. I was like, yeah, you're right.
Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. They sucked.
They sucked real bad. Let's hope this doesn't continue. I don't think it will, but like you said, don't overreact.
If it continues against the Lions, you can overreact all you want.
Yeah. Well, you get my text messages during the game, so you know my over. I called the game over at like the fucking second quarter. I was like, way to start 0-1. Yeah.
That's normal.
Yeah, it is. I was right though. So
you were right this time.
Yeah. Normally it actually goes the opposite way, but some liquid courage, positive predictions, and whiskey dick, a negative prediction for week two. And I think, you know, from our predictions from last week, I think you won on yours. And I got like a iffy on the Darnold. I mean, he did all right. He just didn't have maybe like a monster game. Yeah. So I'd take those as wins from last week. I kind of already hinted at these two real quick. Anthony Schwartz, liquid courage. Just I don't think he'd maybe have like a miraculous game, but I think there's going to be an uptick. He had good yardage, good receptions. It's a favorable matchup. And then, you know, Pittman, I get ready for the panic. I think this will be another bad week. Probably get, I forgot the corner's name. Jalen Ramsey, a lot potentially. So, get ready. If you still believe, it might be starting a good point to buy him, honestly. After this week,
I love that this is the third time we brought up Anthony Schwartz in this episode, and I just thought of Spaceballs.
Oh, the Schwartz, yeah.
Use the Schwartz.
That's his nickname. Yeah, I think we're gonna be able to get something in here
if he takes off.
Yeah,
My liquid courage is gonna be Gronk. It's predicting another smash for him against the Falcons. And same game here, another tight end. Whiskey Dick is going to be Pitts, as we talked about earlier. But Tampa defense is once again no joke to everyone's chagrin and all the Tom Brady haters.
Oh, God. He said, as you came in, say he like played a 50.
Yeah.
Like he's, he's like, and I saw somebody's like, Tom Brady's going to be the first player to like retire and then collect his pension at 55, like immediately.
Right.
Yeah,
man. So last call, I just kind of wanted to remind people, if you have a, you know, end of your bench spot open, to put someone in there. And like kind of I pulled up five guys that I think if the running back ahead of them goes down, can be very valuable. So Larry Roundtree, Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Williams, Alex Collins, and Cordero Patterson. Alex Collins, he's more of a pass catching back, but just because, Rashad Penny's already banged up again. So Chris Carson gets hurt, he's probably going to be the guy.
Yeah. My last call is I really love that I have specifically went in and benched Daniel Jones because going against Washington, and he's got a touchdown, 215 yards passing, and running back numbers, 82 yards and a TD right now. They're like, this is like just my luck with fantasy, dude. I've just like, there were so many games I should have won last week that if the Packers showed up at all. Didn't you
know his nickname was Daniel White Lamar Jones?
I did not. just gross. As my luck goes, but yeah, no, that's all I got. Last really thing I had is who's gonna be your birthday episode. I was trying to work getting like maybe a player to actually come in here, but obviously that's not gonna work. Instead of doing like I couldn't just cop up and do the same thing you did with the John Kuhn, it would have been too easy. So I went ahead and just got our tailgate tickets to the same tailgate we did last time, VIP. Which was what we had last time, but got that. And then booked our Lambo, the tours tickets went on sale like, 3 days ago, and I bought them like that day. So I got us basically another tour that we've already done. It's a classic tour, so it's not going to be like the locker room stuff. A little shorter, but it is with a Packers alumni as the tour guide.
Ooh, awesome!
Yeah, so you know,
no idea who.
I know who. Do you want to know who? Do you have a guess? Maybe I'll never get it, but quarterback. It's a quarterback.
Oh man.
Yeah. Matt Flynn.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that one was Tim Mastase, a punter. So you know, I went with Matt Flynn, who throws one like 5 TD game that gets a huge out contract.
That's awesome, man.
So we got some of that arranged already. Hall of Fame stadium tour, and then obviously tailgating. So with more to come. They have not released any, you know, player meet and greets. So nothing there on that front. So
more to come.
More to come. Just like on this podcast, please tune in next week and like, rate, and share.
Thank you for tuning into the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Until next time, remember, NFL players don't care about your fantasy team, but we do.